realize they don't live in his district. You know?
Good morning.
Finley, they don't live in your district. They can't vote for you, sir. They don't live in your district.
Excuse me.
We will open our meeting by repeating the Lord's Prayer, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Couldn't see the flag.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, she was learning about that.
She was? She didn't call me?
Yes, she did.
She did?
I got she fired her to her decorator yesterday.
I got one that's good. If you want, is that Lewis?
You are too, guys.
You all have received a copy of the agenda. Any additions or corrections to the agenda?
Mr. President, make a motion we approve the agenda for Sussex County Council for November the 6th, 2007, as in printed form.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Rogers, second, Mr. Jones, to approve the agenda as presented. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Motion is carried. You all have received copies of the minutes for October the 23rd. Any additions or corrections to those minutes? Mm-hmm. I have a motion, Mr. Jones, seconded by
second.
Mr. Phillips, to approve the minutes for October the 23rd. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Motion carried, yes. Mr. Griffin, correspondence.
We've got several items of correspondence today. First, a note from Donna Mowbray. Sussex County Order of Links. It's a 4-H program thanking council for a donation that was used toward their youth program. A letter from Tim Buckmaster, principal at Cape and Lopen School District, Beacon Middle School, indicating that they had delivered 1,583 items of canned goods for the Caroling in the Circle program and donated over 7,000 over the last several years. A note from a homeowner, Babs Jessen, who lives on East Trap Pond Road, thanking Ira Hitchens for his time and effort in helping clean up a place next door to her home. A letter from Senator George Bunning, thanking council for funding additional state troopers. A letter from Susan Cormier, reading specialist at Laurel Intermediate School, thanking Mr. Dukes for a donation to the Reading Across Delaware program. A letter from the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University, thanking council for issuing a proclamation designating the fourth Monday in September as Family Day. Letter from the Bethel Historical Society thanking council for a contribution that they used toward their maritime festival. And lastly, a letter from the Delaware Department of Health and Social Services, Dr. Jaime Rivera, to Mr. Dukes, giving information regarding MRSA, the methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus staph infection that is spreading through the schools, and giving information that's available, will be made available to the public on how to prevent the spread of MRSA. That's all the correspondence.
Any other correspondence by the council? Being none, Mr. Baker.
Good morning. The first item on the agenda is an update from United Way. And with us today, we have Ms. Bonnie Wooten from the Personnel Office and Ms. Sandra Ware and Mr. John Moore from United Way. And I believe they're going to explain their program.
Hi, I'm Sandra Ware.
from Sussex County, and I want to thank you all for letting us come here and address you today. And the main purpose for being here is to put a face, a personal face, on the United Way of Delaware campaign. I sit on the board of directors for the state of Delaware for the United Way, and I'm very happy to be part of this. And I just find that being a Sussex Countyan, I just find that there's a slight disconnect for how we interpret the funds for United Way of Delaware and where they're coming from. And we just want to change the perception, because there's $4 for every dollar donated from Sussex County that comes back into our county to help our families. And John Moore is going to explain a little bit about that for you. Thank you.
Well, it's an honor to be here this morning to stand for President Dukes and Mr. David Baker on behalf of the United Way of Delaware. I'm the Regional Resource Development Manager for Kent and Sussex Counties. I speak on behalf of the Honorable Thurman Adams, who's our Sussex County Chair. And I come here today because we're in the midst of a philanthropical endeavor to really make a difference in our community. I start off with a quick quote. It's from Dr. Martin Luther King. He says that we are all caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied together in a single garment of destiny. And whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. And with that statement, what it simply means is that your victories and your losses, your joys and your pains are mine as much as mine are yours. And we're serving in a community that definitely is at an urgency of a moment where we need to help people. Sussex County, we reach out to you because there's a great program that the United Way is doing, and we decided to pilot it right here in Sussex County. Now, I just want to really get a clear picture of what the United Way may have been to many people. For years, we've been a group that have been a premier fundraising organization, helping out over 110 agencies in the state, such as the Boys and Girls Club, YMCA, and a number of other organizations, helping them out there with their particular missions. But the big thing that the United Way had noted is that it's wonderful to help out individual organizations, but are we really attacking the root causes that are in our communities? And so the United Way took the last 2 years and they did an actual assessment, because we need to have an ability to measure if we're making progress. And after that assessment, we came and determined that there were 5 specific areas that we call strategic focus areas that need the attention of our community. Those areas include our children going to kindergarten unprepared. And we use a program called Success by 6. And I'm going to explain that a little bit more in just a minute. But it's unfortunate that many of our daycares that our children are going to before they go to kindergarten, 70 to 75% of them are rated as either mediocre or poor. And the result of that is that many of the children coming out of there have maybe a vocabulary of about 5,000 words. A child that's going to those other 25% that are rated as excellent gain about 25,000 words. So that shows right there a disparity for those kids that are going in with that low vocabulary as the challenges that they will face. And through this program, we're able to enhance the teaching that's going on with the children. Instead of just sitting there waiting for the parents to come and pick them up, we're actually engaging many other areas. The other area that we're also looking into, it's called Strong Families, Strong Children. Once those kids get out of kindergarten, we want them to be successful at being able to complete school. And I was here the other day, and I was sharing that I feel so good that my son is a senior this year. He's going to college, and that means he's out of the house. That's wonderful. But the thing is that there are many of our kids, if they've entered in kindergarten without the right opportunity, then they may begin to find alternative behaviors that cause them not to be successful in school. And so our Strong Family, Strong Children program addresses this. Our next program is Healthy and Independent Communities. With that program, specifically in the area of dealing with our elderly, many of them may not have transportation to get to the hospitals that they need to. Unfortunately, many of them are uninsured. And we've come up with a program just to initialize, and I've heard that I believe the Sussex County Council has come up with a similar program where we're actually able to give a car to those individuals that are uninsured so they can get 20% off of their prescriptions when they go to Eckerd's, when they go to Rite Aid, when they go to these other pharmaceutical places, which is a great help. Another area, our fourth area, is called basic needs and self-sufficiency. We do not want to see anyone in this rich country going hungry. The unfortunate thing is that in the midst of our comfort, we can look out our window sometime and we see people digging in trash cans. We see people who are homeless, and these things need to be addressed. And that's what we do through that program called Basic Needs and Self-Sufficiency. And finally, the fifth area is called Strong Neighborhoods. I'm originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Philadelphia is not something to brag about. We are number one in something. Of course, it's not the NFL. But the one area, unfortunately, that we're number one is homicide in this country. And, you know, to come to Delaware, I retired after 20 years in the United States Air Force, came here, moved here, my family, nice, quiet, Magnolia, Delaware. Foxes, real foxes running across the street. It's just something that alarmed me coming from the city. But the thing is that now many of the things from the big city is coming here to Delaware. And it's evident by some of the things that we've seen in our community as of late. If I can give you an example very quickly of how we can show how that impact of that inescapable network of mutuality works. Just the other day at a prayer breakfast for the mayor of Dover, as I was given the invocation, I mentioned to them that it was unfortunate that Shalita Middleton, one of the two students that had been shot at Delaware State, had passed away just the day before. And the ooh across the entire audience that day showed that it's a community issue. And so that's why we're here today. We're seeking your assistance. I wanted to come very quickly with some numbers, and Chandra, she kind of shared with that. The goal for Sussex last year, just the goal for Sussex, was $286,000. We were able to raise $256,000. We fell about $30,000 short on that. But regardless, the United Way contributed almost $850,000 to community organizations down here. And this shows you that truly the monies that we're raising is not going up north. It's going right here in the community where we're hurting. You know, I just had the great opportunity of going to an organization here in Sussex, I believe in Georgetown, called Las Esperanza. And there's a great award that the United Way gives out called the Jack Burris Award, and we were able to give them $2,500 for the things that they're doing. So it's very important for me to make it clear that monies that are needed here in Sussex is coming right back to Sussex through the contributions that you're making to the United Way. And then I wanted to go just very quickly on the Success by Six program. Why did I want to bring that here? Because in actuality, it's got its birth here in Sussex County. We know that, as I was explaining earlier, many of our children are going to kindergarten unprepared. And so we saw that need. The biggest issue was dealing with daycare centers that really weren't providing what our children needed. And so what we did is we came up with a program called Partnering with Families Initiative. We worked in training children and training child care workers to strengthen the family relationships they had with those children's parents. And at the same time, working with those parents, we're able to strengthen those families. It was funded with $200,000 through a federal grant that was managed and administered by the United Way of Delaware. Launched right here in Sussex County, we worked with three daycares. We worked with Discovery Island Christian School in Del Mar, Building Blocks Learning Center in Daxboro, and parents and teachers together at Del Tech Owens campus. And I believe we have some students. Can y'all raise your hands, the students at Del Tech? Got some representatives right there from the school. And working with them, we've seen in just 1 year a measurable improvement on the relationships with families and also with the progress of the children that are a part of those programs. So it is making a tremendous impact. As we look in our community, we realize that if we make just $1 of investment to children before they hit the age of six, in their lifetime, what you get back is between $7 and $17 per that $1 investment. You may ask, how's that happening? And what it is that you will see a reduction in the needs in our school systems for special education. You will see a need. You will see a reduction in the need for welfare, because those children are going on to a successful career in college. And then you're also seeing, very importantly, a reduction in the need for incarceration funds. Because it's awesome when you give a young person something positive, they really don't have a lot of time for the negative. And so I thank you so much for the opportunity to come today. We cannot do this without your support. We looked at what Sussex Council did last year, and unfortunately we only had, at that time, a 4% participation rate. And we know that we could do a lot better than that. If we were able to, with the 500 people that are part of this council, to give 25% participation, to get 25% participation, we can make a tremendous impact here in this county. And I leave you with this great cliche. It does. It takes a village to raise a child. And it is important for all of our counties, even Sussex County, that we reactivate that village so that we can make a difference in our community. So I thank you so much. I thank you for the giving that you'll be able to help us with in making a difference as we work together the United Way. Thank you.
Questions or comments from the council? Are you going to have someone explain what the county's program that we have, Bonnie, or yeah. Are you going to do it, or somebody?
Bonnie here?
Yeah. She gone already.
Well, either way, I can do it.
Okay.
The county has a payroll deduction plan,
yes,
but
sir.
It's been somewhat inactive, although we do have a few employees. So this coming Friday, the United Way will be meeting with our employees. It's, of course, it's a voluntary basis. It's a voluntary payroll deduction. But they will be meeting with our employees to try to encourage payroll deductions to help support the various charities in the county. So we have that coming up this week.
Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you
so much.
Thank you.
All
right.
Thank you. The next item is a proclamation and tribute for the Milford Housing Authority. And with us today is Mr. David Moore. Milford Housing Development Corporation is celebrating its 30th anniversary. So I don't know if you would like to come up, Dave. Or and Bill Lacates is here also. And I'll read this tribute. The Sussex County Council congratulates the Milford Housing Development Corporation on the occasion of their 30th anniversary celebration. The Sussex County Council recognizes the Milford Housing Development Corporation for its outstanding work in providing affordable home ownership, senior and family rental units, and transitional housing apartments for the citizens of Sussex County and the state of Delaware, and directs this tribute to be presented to the Milford Housing Development Corporation on the 6th day of November 2007. And we also have a, I think.
Make a motion, Mr. President.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Rogers, second, Mr. Jones, to adopt the proclamation just read by Mr. Baker. Any questions? Being none, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. I've asked Mr. Rogers to present that.
Mr. President, I think it'd also be appropriate if Mr. Lacates would approach the bench here.
Approach the bench?
Sounds like a judge.
Hey, Bill, get up, huh? Smile, Bill.
Actually, Russ, I suppose, is on.
I would like to, Bill and I was honored to be a guest at the 30th anniversary festivities, and it was an excellent evening out. And you learned so much about the, it's more than just a banquet, it's an education. And for all that you're doing for this county and Kent County, State of Delaware, you need to be applauded for it more than you even know. And I'd like to also give you some community very much money to help you along with your endeavors also. So congratulations on 30 years, and Bill Lacates and everybody, yourself and your whole staff, doing an excellent job. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'd like to thank council.
Yes, sir.
You get an invitation. We just completed 5 more homes Wednesday, and we have a move-in ceremony that Senator Carper will be attending just south of Milford at Cedar Creek Landing. But thank County Council. Thanks, President Dukes.
I enjoyed your presentation at Today Tomorrow conference. I was giving me a better insight of what Milford Housing really does. I was not aware of what you did, and so that was...
We've been awfully quiet, but we feel that we've got the affordable housing solutions for the county and maybe someday for the entire state. But good, strong team, good young team. With the 5 houses we just completed, we just got an outstanding rating from the Department of Energy. We're in the 99th percentile of efficiency on our homes we're building. And I'm proud to say that with the sweat equity component, we've got homes appraising at 200 plus thousand and mortgages of 150. So I invite everyone to come out and take a look.
Is that what you call affordable housing?
That's what I call affordable.
Me too. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
The next item on the agenda is regarding the county's prescription drug discount cards, and we are pleased to announce that we have received the Sussex County prescription drug discount cards that the County Council authorized a few weeks ago. There are a packet of these cards available. I think each should have a packet of these cards. What we are going to do is distribute them at the county office buildings and the 14 libraries and the bookmobile. They are available today at each library. And then we will make them available at other locations upon request. And just for your information, again, there is an average savings of 20% on prescriptions for the use of this card. It is accepted at most pharmacies in the county. There are no costs to the users. There's no application form to fill out. It can be used anytime a prescription is not covered by other insurance. And you can use the card as many times as you want, and anyone can use it. And we do have cards available in Spanish. So Mr. Guy has sent out a press release, and if you have, if there are businesses or other locations that you would like to see us make them available at, we will do so.
But it makes sense to make them available to the doctors that are writing these prescriptions.
That's a good idea. We can follow up with that.
Yeah. Well, that means you'd have to give some to every doctor in the county. That'd be a lot. I don't know.
I got a pack of about 200 here. I think you do, too.
Well, maybe that'd be a good job for you.
Okay.
I just got one comment. I appreciate everybody's done all the work to get this going. You going to talk, or do you want me to? Okay. Thanks. The social service group, I had several calls from them after we announced that they have several people that are, there might be an area that we could certainly investigate without handing them out. One lady from Melford called me, and then certainly the one in Georgetown, and see, there's certainly several of those areas that we might be able to make a contact point and to be able to, give them out and then have them available to those clients right there.
Okay, social services, and we're also going to make them available for the senior centers and CHEER and whatnot, too.
Excellent.
So, and doctors, so. And I'd like to thank Kathy Roth, who is here today.
Hey, Kathy.
Who helped, did a lot of the legwork on organizing this, and, of course, Mr. Jones brought this to our attention as a result of NACO. And then the last item I have is the county administrator's report. First of all, a storm report for November 3rd, only minor beach erosion and minor flooding were the results of the remnants of Hurricane Noel that skirted Sussex County November 2nd and 3rd. The emergency operations mobile command post was located at Pumpkin Chunking during the weekend, monitoring winds as well as supporting the fire and EMS units on scene. No major storm-related events occurred during the weekend. Community development and housing public hearing and meeting dates. Attached is a copy of a schedule of community development block grant public hearings regarding proposed funding of the $2 million of block grant funds. These monies will be used for needed housing renovations for individuals who qualify on an income basis. Caroling on the Circle. Attached is a press release regarding Caroling on the Circle scheduled for December 3rd at the Circle in Georgetown. This will be the 24th celebration of the event with an emphasis on a food drive to provide food for the needy in Sussex County. Event will begin at 7 p.m. outside the courthouse, and we encourage everyone's support to raise food for the needy. Veterans Day holiday. County offices will be closed on Monday, November 12th, in honor of our veterans. The offices will open on the 13th at 8:30 a.m. County Council meeting for November 13th will occur at 6:30 p.m. as normally scheduled. South Coastal Library status. The South Coastal Library reopened on Monday, November 5th at the new temporary location on Route 26 in the shopping center near the Food Lion. Attached is a schedule for the library, and regular hours will begin tomorrow. Library personal computer grants. We are pleased to announce that the Greenwood and Milton Libraries are eligible for 11 personal computers from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The county will be responsible for a match in fiscal 2009 and 10 of between 12.5% and 25% of the PC costs. So, thank you.
Sister Webb.
Thank you.
morning I have two ordinances for introduction. You'll recall that on August 18, 07, a referendum passed to create the Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District. The ordinance that need introduction today are for a subdivision within the Angola Neck Sewer District called the Woods on Herring Creek. The first ordinance is to establish the rates for the Woods on Herring Creek, and the second ordinance is to amend the 2008 sewer budget to include the rates for Woods on Herring Creek. And I'll pass down copies of the ordinance, two ordinances, and the budget. Here today is Mr. Archett, Mr. Tung, Mr. Marvel, and Ms. Sheridan. They're going to speak more about the specific sewer situation in the Woods on Herring Creek and why we need to do this now.
Get into it.
We love it. Yeah, I thought we were paperless up all this and have any frozen.
Got more.
I thought we got these screens here.
Before Susie, before Mrs. Webb goes through the through the rates.
Way too far, Russell.
Before she goes through the rates, I would like to give the council a little overview of what's taking place here with the Woods on Herring Creek. Just a little background on the project itself. It is part of the Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District, which as council knows, and Susan, she mentioned a little while ago, we have held a referendum. It's on the far eastern part of the sewer district. Angola by the bay is over here, so you can see it's on the far eastern side. And as it says there in the background that I've written down in the little summary, it has an existing sewer collection system. It's like the one that we took over at Bay Colony and Fairway Villas. It's a small diameter gravity system which uses septic tanks to take the solids out at the home, uses smaller pipelines that lead to ultimately to a drain field, community drain field, and then the wastewater is disposed of. At this point, the drain field is not able to handle all of the wastewater being sent there, and portions of it have to be siphoned off or pumped off and then hauled to our treatment plant for service. Now, the current homeowners association is doing all the maintenance and operations of the system. So the budget that we're asking you to consider allows for us to take over operations and maintenance of that system on January the 1st. What I'd like to do is just kind of review what our operations will be, and I would like to kind of give the council an idea of where we will be heading in the next few years as we wait for the entire Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District to be constructed. As I said, operations will begin on January 1, 2008. Until then, the Homeowners Association will continue to operate and maintain the system. That coincides with a date that we have asked the Public Service Commission to allow us to take it over. We will be responsible for the operations and maintenance of the entire wastewater collection system, the drain fields, the septic tanks, the pipelines. We will continue the current practice, which is pumping the septic tanks at once every 3 years, so we'll have a rotating schedule to do that, again, just like we do in Bay Colony. We will continue to operate the existing community drain fields, which by being able to at least discharge a portion of the wastewater to the drain fields, that minimizes how much we have to pump and haul to the treatment facility. County will continue to pump and haul the excess to the inland-based treatment facility for treatment and disposal. We are also planning to make interim improvements to the existing two pumping stations that are in the community. They're basically in bad need of improvements just to get to a point where we can provide safe and reliable service of them. Now that we'll be taking them over, we want something that we can count on to provide reliable service. In addition to that, the dosing facilities that send wastewater to the drain fields need some minor improvements as well. So we'll be making some of those minor improvements. We are investigating a temporary connection to one of the nearby private treatment facilities. There's three treatment facilities nearby that we think might offer us an interim alternative solution to wastewater treatment until we make the final connection to the inland bays, which will be about 3 years from now. So we think if we can enter into an agreement with one of those facilities, then we can cease hauling and we can cease treating on site, and that would help us, you know, would take the burden off of our operations and maintenance personnel. So we are going to doing a request for proposals in the spring, and hopefully those three facilities will respond, and then we'll look at those options, and if that happens, we will award a contract to one of them, and that will definitely affect these rates that we're adopting now. These rates are in effect until June 30th, so if we have another alternative, we'll come back and adjust the rates accordingly after June 30th for the next fiscal year.
And these rates are just for that area that's outlined in black.
These are just for the woods on Herring Creek.
Talk about everything else.
No, because they do not have service at this point, so we cannot charge them. If that does happen, then we will abandon the existing drain fields and dosing system, so we can take that offline. Ultimately, it will be connected to the Inland Bays Regional Treatment Facility, and wastewater will all be treated there. So the temporary treatment alternative will be discontinued, and a permanent treatment alternative will be implemented. So,
you know, we have the manpower?
Yes, we've looked at it. We do have the staff. We have the proper vehicles to haul the wastewater, and we're able to maintain it during this period.
And you figured out the improvements to these pump stations, the cost?
Yes, the front foot assessment that Ms. Webb's going to cover here in a minute is based on making those repairs. It's about $140,000, and it'll be recovered over the next 3 years.
Now, Russell, when they do hook this up, the collection system is all going to be dug up and put in?
No, the collection, it'll be just like Bay Colony Fairway Villas. The collection system will remain in place. The cost of making the, you know, to replacing it would be
so
astronomical.
So septic haulers will still come and
we will still be responsible for pumping those septic tanks once every 3 years. It's an integral part of the system.
And after they're hooked up to the inland base. So
yes,
forever we will have that kind of
It will be part
program.
Of that, part of our expense and part of our responsibility. Okay. Just again, just like Bay Colony and Fairway Villas.
Yeah. And it's working in Bay Colony? Because that's a good,
seems to be working fine.
What we're doing here, I guess, right?
We're going to handle it exactly the same way, we believe.
And it's a smooth operation.
I would have thought you'd abandon the drain fields and then go directly into it, but you're not, right?
The big drain field there, yeah. They got tanks on at each of those homes, right? Has a holding tank.
Each home has a septic tank that they connect to, and that takes the solids out.
Yeah, the solids stay there on site.
And
at the home.
Those will have to stay in place. The drain fields will be abandoned once we have another treatment alternative
in
place.
Community drain field, right?
Yeah. So we will do away with that.
Mr. Archie, we've been talking about probably a year on privatizing the treatment there. And now we're setting rates. And why is it going to take us till spring to get an RFP out? I mean, you know, we could get this thing done in 30 days. Why are we dragging so long?
Oh, well, we're going to take over operations January 1st.
We have hauling. Why do we have to haul it?
Well, because unfortunately there are three systems that potentially could say that they can provide a service, and I think we have to go through a competitive process to do that.
And the other thing we found is when we went down to the system, we found those existing pump stations that are there are in such a state of disrepair that we need to deal with those first before we need to deal with the treatment and disposal option, that it wasn't as simple as us going and just redirecting the flow to a new location. There's two existing pump stations that are in complete disrepair. Rodney and Heather went down and looked at them, and they labeled those as our first priority of things that we needed to make right. So we're gonna divert our energy to those first, And also Heather looked at the treatment and disposal system. And I don't want to put words in her mouth, but she feels like she can manage that better than it's been managed to date, and that we can operate it effectively. Then we can move into the phase where we take the treatment and disposal system offline.
So you can get these two pump stations rebuilt between now and spring?
Rodney, how long will it take?
I've got, as soon as you turn the money loose,
pretty soon.
We'll have it done by January.
That's to be done in-house.
Yes, we're going to do that all in-house.
So, all right, if he can get it done by January, why are we going to wait till spring then to go out with an RFP?
Well, I'm working on the RFP as we speak, and our just thought process, and maybe I can do it a little faster than have it on the street in spring. But the key is we felt like we needed to make this system safe and operational as quickly as we could, and this was the best way to do it. It was... It's in bad shape, and there's some unsafe conditions as well.
And there are issues to be considered in the RFP. I mean, we're going to be looking at three different treatment systems, type of systems. They're all different distances from the woods on Herring Creek, so we have to take that into consideration. So there's going to be some evaluation in which system we select.
And also I'm trying to decide how much infrastructure do we build temporary versus infrastructure that could be reused for the permanent solution.
And this won't disrupt any of the people living there.
They're going to be much better off come January.
Right, but this won't disrupt anything, their lifestyle, their quality of life right now.
They'll see no difference in their service.
I'll say their separate responsibility is ours now instead of theirs.
Yeah, they have this liability of the homeowners themselves having to run this wastewater treatment plant, and they're not up to it.
And if the pump stations break down, like if they did, I mean, we would be really in a pickle, right? I mean, we have no way to get the stuff moving, even to their drain field.
That's the way the wastewater gets to the drain field, is through the pump station.
There was a situation this summer where the drain field failed, and it failed just because there was an alternator. They had three dosing beds, and an alternator broke, and the current operator just continued to dose the same field time and time and time again. Heather and Rodney went down and figured it out right away, and we're actually not even going to wait till January 1 to replace that. We're going to do that now.
That sounds good.
Okay, I'm just hoping that you won't drag this RFP out till spring. I mean,
we'll get on that, but we have a good relationship with the Homeowners Association, and they're thrilled with the progress we've made today.
But we're having trucks in there every day.
They have trucks in there every day now. And come January 1, well, it's 5 days a week. Come January 1, it'll be county trucks coming in and hauling the waste versus the private haul.
Okay.
And Mrs. Webb is now going to take care of going over what the proposed rates are.
Again, as we mentioned earlier, these rates are just for the woods on Herring Creek, what it is currently right now for the 6 months ending June fiscal year 08 budget year, not the Angola Sewer District. We're proposing a service charge of $898.78 per EDU per year, but of course this will be prorated for 6 months. $449.39 from January 08 through June 08, and this will pay for the ongoing operation and maintenance costs. We're also proposing a transmission fee of $2.21 per front foot, billed quarterly, and this will pay for the capital needs to get the woods on Herring Creek up and operational to our county standards and our safety standards, specifically with the SCADA communication and emergency communications. They currently have none of that. This will be paid back to the county over the next 3 years, at which time it's estimated that the Angola next sewer system will be online. We're also proposing a septic installation charge of $475. This is going to be invoiced per vacant lot after January 1st, 08, where septic tank installations are needed. We are not proposing a system connection fee at this time, as there is no system to connect to. They will connect when the Angola sewer neck is up and operational. The residents are currently paying $1,072 right now just to keep what they have operational. Their new rate that we're proposing will be $1,119.78. This is for an average front foot of 100 feet, which we usually use for comparison. This is an increase of $47.78. The county will be assuming all the responsibility of running this system, obviously taking a bad situation and improving upon it. There is a public hearing scheduled December 4th for the rates, the assessment rolls, and the amended budget. Any questions on the rates or technical aspects?
What we would need is introduction of the two proposed ordinances, one regarding the rates and then the second regarding amending the budget.
I'll introduce them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Godwin.
Mr. President, members of council, this morning we have one wastewater agreement for your consideration. This agreement is number 81-04, Ashley Manor Phase 3, agreement number 539-3. The developer in this case is Mr. Lincoln Davis from Bear, Delaware, and the location is Route 20 north of Route 54. This will be part of the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District, serving 28 residential townhouses. The system connection charges will total $122,220. We do already have approvals from our engineering department as well as Denerec, and we're expecting 28 days of construction, while there will be $19,690.80 in construction administration and construction inspection costs, with a proposed construction cost of $131,272. For your consideration this morning, we have a motion worded as follows. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 539-3, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Beezer Homes Corporation for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Ashley Manor Phase 3, located in the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District.
So moved. I have a motion, Mr. Cole, seconded by Mr. Rogers. That was just read. Mr. Godwin, any questions on the motion? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, motion is carried.
Thank you.
Mr. Hicken?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have one quick item this time.
Great.
That's to terminate one of our T-hanger leases at the airport. As you recall, our current lease doesn't have the mechanism in it to terminate a lease prior to the one-year extension being up. Larry Davis was in T-hanger number 4 and lost his airplane for various reasons and has no need of the hangar. And we need to go ahead and terminate him. We have a 19-person waiting list right now right behind him, so it's not going to be a problem filling that spot. Unless you have any questions, I have a motion. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the termination of the lease agreement with Lawrence Davis for T-Hanger 4, 21385 Rudder Lane at the Sussex County Airport.
So moved, Mr. President.
Second. I have a motion, Mr. Jones, seconded by Mr. Rogers to terminate the lease on hangar T4. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried.
Thank you.
10:30, public hearing. Mr. Griffin, or is that yours?
Yes. This is a time and place advertised for a public hearing on an ordinance that was previously introduced. The purpose of the amended ordinance is to amend the Chapter 72 dealing with moderately priced housing units. We'll start the public hearing with a brief presentation explaining what the proposed amendments are, and then we will open it up to public comment if there is anyone present who would like to be heard regarding